Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, a pub in Ireland is shutting up shop every 3.5 days across the country. That's according to a report in today's Irish Independent. And publicans are calling for urgent measures to address the crisis facing rural pubs in particular. Now, for more on this, I'm joined by Pat Crotty, Chief Executive of the Vintners Federation of Ireland. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Colm.
The research by the Drinks Industry Group of Ireland says 2,100 pubs have closed since 2005. Is that pub closures, is the number of pubs in the country down by 2,100, or are they pubs that have closed in one place and opened in another?
No, that's the net figure. So that you will have had openings because there are new pubs, particularly in urban areas. But there's an awful lot of loss. And the net situation now is that we're down that number, 2,100. And the headline actually sounds stark when you say a pub is closed every 3.5 days. If you reduced your scale from 20 years to the last 5, closing every 2.8 days.
Sorry, just,
in the last 5 years.
Your line broke up briefly there, Pat. You were saying if you reduce your scale to 5 years, the figure is?
Yeah, indeed. That the closure rate is even higher. It's not one in every 3.5 days now. It's one in every 2.8 days, which is a 20% worse situation than the headline suggests. So in other words, the trend is getting more severe. It's going to become more critical over time.
So what's behind it in the estimation of your members? Is it that enforcement of drink driving laws has become more strenuous? Is it that people simply aren't going to the pub, or have publicans aged out and maybe their sons and daughters don't want to take over the business?
Well, you could say all of the above have certainly had their part to play over the last 20 years. But the difference now is that we're actually seeing pubs that are doing what you'd regard as very excellent trade. And they're saying they cannot make a bottom line, they cannot make a net profit. And if you don't have a net profit, you don't have a business. And there are no friendly bankers or friendly benefactors out there to help you stay alive. If you don't make a net profit, sooner or later, the game is over.
And can you explain that one, Pat? A pub that is, say, and you deal with rural publicans, that's who you represent.
Yeah.
So, you know, the village pub, people come down and watch matches. They're there maybe on, you know, or not maybe the same people, but Friday, Saturday night, Sunday during the day, there's people coming in. Pints are more expensive than ever. How can people not turn a buck?
Yeah, well, because the while the price may have gone up, the price has not gone up at the same rate that costs have gone up. I mean, if you take it if you have a 20 cent increase on a 5 euros, that's only a couple of percent. But your wages have gone up 33% in the last 4 budgets. Sick pay have gone up 66%. Insurance have gone up dramatically. Energy costs have, most people are paying, even though they have eased a bit now, most people's energy costs are probably double what they were 4 or 5 years ago. So the cost factors are just becoming insurmountable. And there's nobody knows better than the publican what price their customer is willing to pay. Like, it's different in every part of the country, and whether you're urban or rural. And there's no use, I mean, you can go into Temple Bar and pay a tenner, but there's no use going down to a village and saying the pint of Guinness is a tenner. The publican would make a margin on that, but they wouldn't be there for long. The market can only sustain a certain price. Publican does his best to try and measure that. And you know the minute you've reached the tipping point, because people stop buying.
I suppose if people were listening to this conversation, Pat, they might be hearing you make many of the same points you made when you were lobbying for a cut in the VAT rate for the hospitality sector. That's been committed to already. So now are you saying you want the Exchequer to go further and offer further tax cuts in other areas?
Yes, is the short answer. And I mean, this is our job to lobby on behalf of vintners. Other people will lobby for other causes. But the situation with the VAT proposal is that if you sell food, you will get a benefit from that. And it's a badly needed benefit for people who sell food. But if you don't sell food, you have been subject to all the same changes that government has forced on every business, and particularly in the hospitality sector. And there's no benefit. There's nothing to help you stay alive in any government proposal
What specifically, now, within the government's power, what do you want them to do? What do you want them to reduce, and at what cost?
We are proposing that the government would reduce the excise on beer. Now, there's two versions of it. The drinks industry group that you quote are seeking a 10% decrease across the board, which would help all producers and sellers of product. And most of this product is actually produced in Ireland. We should be supporting producers as well, particularly at a time when tariffs might damage their capacity to sell abroad. Specifically for my rural publican members, we are seeking a reduction in excise on draft beer, because most of the product that's sold by small publicans is draft beer. It's virtually all produced in Ireland. It's homegrown. We should be supporting it. It is the least damaging of all alcoholic products, and it is the lifeblood of small pubs. Okay. and the social and cultural and community and tourism things that are all connected with small rural pubs.
All right, but I suppose, you know, the research has been, and going back to when there was research commissioned for the Commission on Liquor Licensing in the early 2000s, the Department of Health commissioned a Swedish academic called Dr. Robin Room to look into this. And he looked at examples across Europe and indeed further afield. And what he saw was that when you reduce the price of drink, harm-related consumption of alcohol goes up. Now, his study has yet to be disproven. So what do you say to that, you know, cutting the price of drink in the pubs is just going to lead to people to consume more?
Yeah, I think we're way past that. I mean, we're in a situation where over the last significant number of years, we have a significant fall in the drink intake. That we have had a cultural and lifestyle change that is not going to come. There's people spending more money in the gym now than they ever spent on drink.
All right, but maybe the rising prices, have contributed to that. And campaigners who look at the harm done by alcohol in the country say that's a welcome change.
You could argue that, but we're at this. If you arrive at a situation where a business which is a legal business in the country cannot actually make a profit to stay open, and our argument is that the change, the moving of the goalposts has been done by the government. It is the significant change in government-driven costs that has caused us to be in the situation where otherwise healthy and viable businesses are now saying, There's no future in this. Right. And you started off by saying that whereas the next generations are people just timing themselves out. There's no next generation going to go into a business that doesn't have a chance of making a profit. It has to be a viable proposition first.
Well, I mean, in order to reassure the campaigners who like Alcohol Action Ireland, who would be against this, could you say to your members not to pass this on to the consumer and for the margin to be kept by the publican and bear the consequences of that from the customers in your pub?
Well, in the first place, if I said anything like that, I'd be up in the court in the morning with the competition authority. We cannot advise our members anything to do with how they apportion cost or price. They have to. Everyone has to run their own business, and they have to decide if they're making a profit. Obviously, if there's no profit, they're going to have to absorb some saving. But there's no one knows better than your average publican what their market needs for them. There's no use being having a great margin on a product and selling none of it. In other words, there's nobody coming in. You have to have a business first.
And would you be confident, though, that your drink suppliers, if you were getting a cut in the excise rate and, you know, beer coming from the taps, that they wouldn't turn around and say, look, your margin has improved, you can afford to pay more, we're affected by the same things as you, energy costs, et cetera, and end up having a more expensive wholesale product eating into your margin?
Well, I would go the exact opposite, Colm. I would say that if government were prepared to come the road with us a bit to try and assist the publicans to stay alive and the customers to be able to afford to come in, I'd be saying to the suppliers that you need to be part of this solution too. You need to maybe take a year where you say you take a very small or no increase, right? Because there've been several years where there was fairly saucy increases, and we need to balance this game back.
Why not start there? Why not start there with the drink suppliers, who are wealthy industries, instead of expecting the taxpayer to take a cut to the public finances at a time of economic uncertainty?
But it isn't the taxpayer who has taken the cut. It's the publican has taken the cut in their margin from government. The customer really hasn't been involved in this equation, or the taxpayer. The government has said, we are taking that money out of your pocket and we're taking it out whether you can afford it or not. And we're giving it to your staff, or we're giving it to other people for other reasons. That's what has happened here. And there was no conversation about it as to whether we could afford it or what was the timeline that could be afforded. They just said, we are doing this and you have to do it. You don't have a choice in it. Just one thing, Colm. You mentioned about other countries and reducing prices that would turn into damage to people's health. In Germany, they've just decided to reduce hospitality VAT to 7%. They had the similar things to us where they had a reduced rate. They increased it back to the normal, up to the high teens. They are now bringing it back to 7% because they know they're killing an industry that they want to stay alive. And in France, they're giving €80,000 of grants to open pubs in places where there's no pub, in villages where there's no pub, because they realise the damage they're doing to community and mental health and well-being for the whole community. Like, we are driving towards a place where they're trying to back out of now.
Okay. Have you put a figure on it, Pat? What the cost to the Exchequer would be for this excise cut?
Well, I do know for the particular excise cut that we are proposing, that the Vintners Federation of Ireland are proposing to help small publicans, is of the order of 73 million, which is a tiny fraction of the cost of the VAT change for food operators. And it would help all publicans, but particularly help all small publicans.
All right, Pat Crotty, Chief Executive of the Vintners Federation of Ireland. Thanks for joining us on that. Coming up next, Caroline Levitt. Who is she? Who is the MAGA media magnate?
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.